From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, January 12th, 2018. And on this day, January has been hard so far for home heating fuel customers and companies. We'll look at how one company is trying to keep up. And we'll hear from well-known Maine outdoorsman George Smith about his diagnosis with ALS. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
The state's congressional delegation is criticizing insulting remarks President Donald Trump made during an Oval Office meeting yesterday during a discussion of immigration policy. President Trump reportedly used an expletive to describe Haiti, El Salvador, and African countries. Patty White has more.
Most of the responses came in written statements. Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree called President Trump's comments racist and sickening. She expressed disgust that the president, quote, discounts people who have fled natural disasters, genocide, and poverty to start over in America. Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin said he's focused on policy and that the reported remarks, quote, are not helpful. Independent Senator Angus King called the comments, quote, truly regrettable and inconsistent with my understanding of what America is all about. Speaking to reporters Friday morning, Republican Senator Susan Collins said the president should not denigrate citizens from other countries and described his words as, quote, completely inappropriate.
And it also does not help us come up with a bipartisan approach to immigration for him to make comments like that.
On Twitter, President Trump said he did use tough language in the meeting, but seemed to deny using the expletive in question. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, who was in the meeting, said on Twitter that Trump used hate-filled, racist words repeatedly. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
It's been a rough start to the new year for thousands of customers who rely on home heating fuel and for the companies that provide it. More than a week after a blizzard and a spate of record low temperatures, suppliers are still facing a backlog of orders. Some customers have run out, and some deliveries still can't be scheduled for another 2 weeks. Susan Sharon has a profile of one company's struggle to try and make things right.
Pit Stop Fuel's delivery driver Kim Mullins has been working 13-hour days for the past 2 weeks. She's had one day off, the day of the blizzard, when it was unsafe to drive. Other than that, she begins each day filling up her truck at 5:30 a.m. when it's still dark outside.
Right now, I'm currently putting number two in my back pocket, trying to fill it up as far as possible so I can get to as many houses as possible.
Mullen's back pocket is a holding tank in her truck. She pumps 2,100 gallons of number two heating oil into it to serve the customers along her route in Raymond. That amount will supply about 10 homes before she'll have to circle back to this bulk plant in Gray to refuel. By the end of the day, she'll have delivered fuel to 40 or 50 homes.
Especially with this company, we've been getting kind of a lot of negativity. But every customer that I've come across is, oh, you know, I'm so glad to see you. Or I got some people had their kids make me cards saying thank you for showing up. Thanks for keeping us warm. It melts your heart. It makes it worth 13-hour days.
Much of the negative comments have been in social media, where customers have expressed anger and frustration when they're told they'll have to wait at least 10 days for a delivery. But Pit Stop is not alone. Many fuel companies are experiencing delays because of what they say is unprecedented demand. Compounding the problem is a statewide shortage of qualified delivery drivers. Some suppliers have stopped taking new customers. Josh Sandall, vice president for Pit Stop, says his company will take new orders as long as customers are willing to wait several weeks. And for those new customers, he's got some advice.
Right now, the best you can really do this time of year is an automatic delivery plan. In May, we go out with what are called budget plans. You know, for a consumer, that's probably the best option out there because it comes with automatic delivery and it spreads your payments out over 12 months. It's 12 equal monthly payments. That makes it very easy for a consumer to budget. It makes it very easy to plan. You don't have to call in for your deliveries anymore.
That's been one of the big challenges for Pit Stop. 95% of its customers are not automatic delivery. Because they're on a limited budget, they can only afford 50 gallons or so at a time. They're used to calling when they run low and having Pit Stop deliver within 1 to 3 days. That all worked well, says Sandahl, until the snowstorm came, followed by the below-zero temperatures, the holidays, and then the blizzard. Everyone used more fuel than expected, and then everyone called in for a delivery at the same time. At peak demand a week ago, customer service reps at Pit Stop were getting 6,000 calls a day.
On average, during this time of year, they would see about 800 phone calls a day. We are currently responding to about 1,600 to 1,800 phone calls a day. Not only are these folks that are answering those phone calls, they're answering emails. And we see in excess of 4,000 emails at a time.
Thank you for calling Pit Stop Fuel. Kelly speaking.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
What is the address?
I'll find out where that is and get back to you.
Fitch, all right.
F-I-T-C-H.
Oh, you're welcome. We've been here. It's just inundated with phone calls coming in, so we're trying to get to everybody as quickly as we can.
In response to customers' needs, Pit Stop set up an overflow call center and hired 40 additional attendants. The company is also taking walk-ins at its administrative office in Standish. Those workers are putting in 12 to 13-hour days. Customer service representative Melody McKay says everyone on the staff has done everything they can to help out. And she says even customers who've stopped by the office have stepped in to help their neighbors.
There was one man standing in line waiting, you know, for his turn and heard an elderly woman that was in a critical situation. And we were discussing that with her. And he just, you know, excuse me, stepped in. You know, where do you live? He managed to fill a can and go help her out, you know. So we have a great community and we've had a lot of support here.
Back on her delivery route, driver Kim Mullen stops at the home of Carol Vining of Raymond. She and her husband have been out of oil for more than a week and making do by going to a gas station and bringing home extra fuel to keep their furnace going.
We used got some yellow K1 cans, and we actually chose to use diesel. We had to travel to Poland to get diesel. There was Wyndham was running out.
Were you worried?
Well, luckily I have a husband that can put diesel in there, so I wasn't too concerned, but I was happy to see you this morning.
We care deeply about our customers. We are here 7 days a week. We're trying, not always succeeding, but we're always trying to do the best we can for customers.
Mike Mickeytuck is one of the new owners of Pit Stop Fuels. He and his partners took over the company on the first of the year, just in time to face a difficult challenge with logistics and public relations.
I've talked to people who have heard that we've been sold to a giant conglomerate, or they're shutting the business down, or they're from out of state and they don't care about us. We're committed to this.
Mickeytuck is convinced the company will get better and stronger because of the challenges it's faced so far this winter, and he's asking customers to be patient just a little bit longer. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Anyone active in Maine's outdoors season either knows of or knows George Smith. For 18 years, he was executive director of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. He also hosted a TV show called Wildfire and may be best known for his articles, columns, blogs, and books about the Maine outdoors, sporting camps, and the sights and sounds of the state he loves. In one of those columns last week, Smith revealed he's been diagnosed with ALS. Maine Calling's Jennifer Rooks spoke today with Smith and with Neil Davies from the ALS Foundation.
People say, George, you seem so hopeful and okay with this. I said, well, what is the alternative? Anger, depression? That's not me. And then as I researched it and talked to Nell, who's been a huge help to me, I decided I really should share this with the public because I'm learning a lot. Everything from insurance to care throughout the whole state. It used to be that you pretty much had to go to the Leahy Clinic to get help with ALS, but we have some wonderful care right here in Maine now, including Nell's group. So I actually stopped going to the Leahy Clinic. I've got all the care I need right here.
Nell, tell us how George's story is similar or different than other patients of ALS that you know.
It's very similar in many ways. You know, ALS hits everybody differently. There's three regular different types of onset usually. There's most people's limbs, but there's also quite a large percentage that their onset is bulbar, they call it, where their speech is first affected. Mm. And then there's a small percentage that have the respiratory is affected first. You know, the symptoms usually are subtle when they first start. So oftentimes it takes a really long time to get diagnosed.
I was about an hour, a year into it before I actually got the diagnosis.
Mm. And you haven't been telling people?
Only my family and closest friends. But now I've lost so much weight, I can't do anything with my fingers. My voice is changing. People were noticing.
Mm.
So I said, now's the time to start talking about it, sharing it with the public. But honestly, I was overwhelmed by the response to that column. Because I love the ones that said, George, I haven't usually agreed with you, but...
That's so mean.
Yes, but so many people said they had actually, after reading that paragraph, started thinking about their own priorities, because that was my message. Even half the people that said they did it, if they did it, I feel I really accomplished something.
Now, can you tell us, what is ALS?
ALS, a lot of people think of it as a muscle disease, but it's actually a disease of brain and spinal cord, where the motor neurons degenerate and die, so that, you know, the brain and the spinal cord lose the ability to connect with the muscles.
Do we know if there's a cause, if there are triggers?
There's still a lot unknown. There's a huge amount of research going on. But it seems as though there is a genetic component in many. There's a small percentage of ALS, like 5 to 10% of people that do have it. It runs in families. But there's also a lot of other people that do seem to have, you know, some genetic mutations that might not be familial.
George, how have you adjusted your life? And something I read this morning, no longer tying flies.
I can't tie flies. I can't release fish. So I didn't fish as much this year. When somebody will take me, of course, I'll go. And then hunting, I can't pull the trigger on a gun, but I have loved taking other people out, especially new hunters. So that's what I'm doing. But now that I'm losing strength in my legs, it's getting harder and harder to even do my favorite outdoor things. So that, of course, changes your perspective. The other thing is I got off some boards and dropped some projects. You know, this last session I put 11 of my own bills in the legislature. I think I'm pretty much done with that. And I am spending a lot more time with family and friends. And that's been the best part of this. Even Angus is coming up next Saturday to spend an afternoon with me. I mean, everybody, I joke, but everybody wants to take me to lunch. So I'm getting lots of lunches. That's really good. But I'm spending more time with my friends. And I've connected with people, even schoolmates that I hadn't heard from in 20 years. And so there's a lot of good in terms of stepping back and letting all these things happen. Now I'm pretty well focused on family, friends, and what I can do to help other people.
You mentioned in your column that you have a harder time typing now, but that your daughter's...
Yes, she got me that Dragon software that you talk and it types. Now, I thought, no software is ever going to understand my accent. But in 15 minutes, I was up and it was working. It doesn't get every word right, but you can edit as we go along. I wish I'd gotten it years ago.
So we're still going to be hearing from you.
Well, yes, I'm going to keep writing as long as I can. Here's one of the things. One of the newest technologies is you can look at the screen and it types what you're thinking. And I thought, oh, I don't want to go there. You know.
That's veteran Maine outdoor author and activist George Smith, who revealed recently that he's been diagnosed with ALS. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, January 12th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty. Have a great weekend.